Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy B. Freeman and Matt Rodriguez Payne. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This fortnight in Ambridge actually was sponsored by the National Explosives Industry. Fireworks again! Diwali this time. We learned a great deal from Shiv about Diwali, and I could hear Alan yearning to abandon the Church of England and go for something much more fun with better food. Imagine, after year-round buffets of Clary's turkey rissoles and Kate's butterbean dip, the prospect of community events with samosas and garlic naan. Poor Alan. They used fireworks with gay abandon and didn't have to worry about frightened horses and had activities every day. Usha pointed out, though, that that was a result of a whole community coming together rather than Peggy's cabal of browbeaten elderly women who seem to think they're still in service to her. Alan went a step too far by contemplating inviting Shiv and Mina to Ambridge to have Diwali celebration there. Alan, don't do that to them. They'll bring out one firecracker and Alice will have a shit fit. If they chalk things on the paving outside Usha's, the parish council will call an emergency meeting and Emma will make quiche Indian by putting garlic in it. Kate initially decided to attend Rory's 21st as Miss Congeniality, but then when she realised there was an opportunity to get Jakob into an easy access leather skirt, hurriedly changed her mind and went gladiator in the hopes he'd go commando. Oddly, despite being the only one in fancy dress, Jakob still enjoyed Rory's birthday party far more than Rory did, as he apparently didn't even go to it. Maybe that's another young person thing that I don't understand. It's cooler not to go or something. We got to meet the defiantly uncool Harry Chilcott, who sounded as though he ought to be one of Henry's school friends, but who turned out to be the uncle of the horse that got frightened by the firework. Lillian stood her ground and then Alice turned up flipping her hair about and he fell for her like a sack of fireworks. Half of Twitter did too once we saw a picture of him, but it still doesn't alter the fact that he sounds like a peevish scout. But maybe we'll warm up to him. Lillian sounds like she's using Alice to shag him vicariously, to be honest, but then if the alternative is Justin in his car coat, I can see why. I misheard Lillian talking about a horse spa and thought she said horse bar and had visions of them perched on stools while a donkey mixed them Negronis. Sadly, it was just more guff about them buying the Grundy land to make a nail bar for horses. Over at the shop, Helen was panicking about what Jack should take with him when he went to meet Rob. Well, it is tricky. What do you give the man who has everything, including a personality disorder? No one took any notice of my suggestion, which was a life insurance policy. Fine here, Daddy. But then no one ever listens to me. There then followed a painful scene in which Joy... Oh, sorry, he's done it again. In
so
which
smooth.
Joy and Jack stood in the hammering rain rather than in the car that they'd come in, while Helen trotted in and out of Rob's flat, presumably letting herself in and out as there was no one else there, even though Rob couldn't move. Joy must have wondered why the hell she'd bothered, and Jack then gave Helen the opportunity to beat herself up for the rest of her life when he said he wasn't going in to see Rob, who probably threatened to die out of spite. Not before asking her to kill him, though, which is a very Rob move, but he confused her by offering her a pillow, when, as he must know by now, she's more comfortable with a tin of ambrosia. She did a tremendous dramatic exit with so much rustling I thought she was wearing a crinoline, which actually would have suited the old Victorian melodrama theme very well. As it was, it all ended not with a bang, but a fish finger sandwich, which seemed suitably ridiculous. Let us all pat ourselves on the back for getting through it. It was difficult. It went from high drama to low farce. Our sympathies swung all over the place, but we got there in the end. Well done, team. Bye-bye, Titchy Knob. Don't let the eternal door hit you up the arse on the way out. And I hope we never have to hear from you or your stinky family ever again. the end.
Yeah, boo sucks, blah. But weren't you a little bit disappointed when it was, because didn't it feel like Pat, when she went, where is he? Which flat is it?
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, she's going to go and finish it off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Joy was like, let's have fish finger sandwiches. And then I thought, oh, that's a bit of a shame. Is it or not? Or is
no,
it not?
Is it good? Because okay. Then, A, what has it got to do with Pat? What flat he's in? Why does she need to know this? Why?
No, because she needed to know because she was going to go up there, wasn't she? And kill him.
Yes, I know. But why? Why? Why was she trying to? Why was she trying to get involved again? Why was she in the middle of? Why did she want to be in the middle of everything? Helen had done the proper sensible thing and left because otherwise,
yes,
NPD
he would have won.
People love drama. They absolutely love it.
Right.
Yes,
it couldn't have happened like that because it would have been Rob winning.
Yeah,
but...
and he would have said, oh, so much drama, Helen, it's always drama with you, blah, 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 blah. And it somehow it would have bitten her on the ass.
And also, I mean, it was if Rob was trying to get Helen to kill him, he was massively going about it the wrong way because obviously she's not going to give him what she wants. Mm. So he should have actually done the reverse and been like, whatever you do, don't smother me with a pillow. Mm. Okay? I'm ordering you not to smother me with a pillow. And then she might have gone, okay.
I've had a good idea. Yeah. Guess what I'm going to do. Guess. There was a brilliant tweet by Sally, who's... Milo and Fred, I don't know how you pronounce her Twitter name, but the tweet was, Helen has a big decision, and then a picture of two pillows, and it said feather or memory foam or something like that. It just really made me laugh.
That's so funny. I guess
Sally Ronaldson, that's her name.
Oh, that's brilliant, Sally. I guess we all just, I do feel a bit giddy because nothing bad. Well, obviously, yes. Bad things happened, but actually, it's like, oh, okay, thank God.
Yeah, yeah.
Helen has come out victorious and stronger.
Yeah,
and closed the door on Rob.
And it's interesting that the first thing she said was, "Can I eat?"
Oh, I didn't even clock that. Yes, that's really well done. You were really listening. As I
wasn't
said,
making
I was a bit
mince.
Distracted. Not only was I making mince, but the washing machine was going on at the same time as the frying mince.
Right.
And there was a Rex screaming and shouting of like how to draw this and that. Oh, so okay. It was so hard to concentrate on a moving scene. So that then I had to listen to it again, but I had to put it on 1.5 because otherwise I would have been late for the podcast. And because I was making a hot chili, my fingers are burning because I was cutting chilies. And they're so stingy. It feels like I've stabbed him.
Yes. Just
and my
remember,
fingers are burning.
If you wear contact lenses, just remember to wash them thoroughly before you take your contact lenses out.
Well, I know, because unfortunately, I was giving Rex some water, but I think my lips touched his... So, I mean, in amongst trying to listen to this moving scene, there was this massive scream because I'd rubbed chili all over his lips. And then I had to get yogurt. Anyway, it was all a mess, but it was a relief, wasn't it, basically?
It was, yeah.
And it was such a good week.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes, yeah. Well,
I thought it was so... Well, maybe because I had time to actually listen without anyone interrupting me on the first few nights. I loved the fact they were celebrating Diwali because I really want to be... I love Diwali. I think it's the best festival of the year.
Yeah.
Because if you're not particularly religious, just to have a festival of light is such a positive thing.
But that's what all the solstices are, festivals of light, really.
Yeah, there's no fireworks, Lucy.
No, that's true.
You just have to go and look at some stones.
Yes. You have to get up really, really early. Stand in the cold by a stone. Yes.
So
yeah, if you compare that with fireworks
and delicious food.
Lamb Rogue and Josh, I can kind of, yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
And pretty decorations everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, it's
no,
a
it
no-brainer.
Is very, very pretty. Yes. Yeah.
Much better. I liked that Shiv's in it. I hope he's back, comes back, because he sounds jolly.
Yes.
And I had a feeling, because Usha was talking about Shiv a lot last week, I had a feeling we'd go over to his mansion. And so that I enjoyed that. And I loved the Kate and Jakob scene where she went. And annoyingly, I wrote it down and then I lost my notes, but I listened again. She went, oh, God, I didn't write it down properly. She went, oh, no, she went, oh, I haven't got the energy to be Britney and I wouldn't pull off Beyonce. Nolatando would never let it go. I actually wept with laughter. I thought that was such a funny line. I love the whole Kate doing the 90s. It was brilliant. Do you not think that is the funniest line that's ever been written in The Archers? Nolatando would never let it go. Just crack me up. So I thought her and Jakob stuff was very funny, but the party was a disappointment. That was awkward.
Well, it was a disappointment because the person whose birthday it was wasn't there.
Also, it had really weird, I think, because it was, they were talking in the toilets, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because I was like, this party, it sounded like a sort of, a business conference.
Yes.
When nobody's turned up. The bit before when
people
just having a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, fine, it's because they're in the toilets. But even if you're in the toilets, there was no gas, was there?
Because it was Ben, wasn't it, that came over and said, basically, why are you in a skirt? Why are you in a leather skirt, Jakob? Why couldn't it have been Rory?
Rory, yeah. But also, why did... I mean, if you're going to go to the lengths of all that brilliant... I love, you know, the brilliant dressing. It was funny and the Jakob is wearing... Then at least give us the party as well. Because I was genuinely looking forward to that. And like, wouldn't it have been great to have some Britney tunes and Ruth, you know?
Yeah.
Oops, I did it again. Ooh, David. Wouldn't it have been fun to have like a 90s Wednesday night?
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a shame.
Yes.
But too much to crab in, I suppose, Lucy. Go on.
What did you think of Harry Chilcott?
Well, I looked him up during your monologue because I was like, why is it? And he's the cool midwife vicar.
Yes.
The one that married the blonde girl.
Right.
And I remember him from that. I didn't recognise his voice, actually, but now I can put two and two together.
Was he hot in that?
Well, they sort of dressed him up like a bit of a drippy vicar.
Okay.
But he's a good looking man. Mm. I mean, I wonder if he's... Oh, Helen George... That's it. Oh, I wonder if they're actually together. Do you know Helen George?
No.
You know, the one that speaks, and she's in court. She's brilliant, you know, very good actress, but she has a bit of an annoying voice, I think, which sounds like Kate. She's the blonde girl in Call the Midwife. It's been in it for ages.
Oh.
No?
No.
Oh, they were together in real life, Lucy. Oh, my gosh. I've just Googled them, and it says Call the Midwife. This is this year. Call the Midwives, Helen George and Jack Ashton announced split after 7 years. And he looks very, very hot in the picture. Well, sort of like boyish, okay. Boyish hot. I thought Harry Chilcott sounded quite, I thought he sounded older than Jack looks, actually.
Crikey. Well, I thought he sounded about 14.
Yes. Yes, I don't know, because he had a bit of a sort of,
if I was him, having been so rudely treated by
Why
Alice,
would you bother?
Yeah, if when she rang up, I'd have gone, yep, yeah, whatever, okay. No, it's fine, I'll do the tour myself. No problem.
Why, exactly, why pursued this woman? She's clearly, like, quite moody
never
and not into...
I would never understand men.
No.
Madness.
No. Mm. But also, like, is she that hot that he's sort of, like, desperate to bag a date with her on day one?
And also, he didn't know that she was married.
Exactly. Mm. I don't think that's a... Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Why did they have to sort of... I suppose, again, it's like hurrying along the Alice getting back to dating and... overcoming her next, you know, the next step and all that.
Well, Franklin...
And maybe, I guess if he looks like Jack Ashton and he'd walked into the stables and Lillian's mouth was like, oh my God, then of course she's, as you said, of course, for her sake, she's going to try and get her niece
and this guy
together.
A lot of opinions about Harry Chilcott. There were opinions all over the shop. Franklin Habit said, I haven't yet finished listening to the episode, but I'm calling it. Harry Chilcott and Alice are gonna do it, he says, capital letters.
In the stable, disturbing the horses.
Probably.
Oh my God. Mm. So hypocritical.
Philip Bailey said, hurry up, Harry, and bugger off. When loads of old Ambridge favourites have been mothballed, we need another new posho character. Short answer is no, especially if it's Harry sodding Chilcott. Cue lots of whiny Alice giving it the full Auntie Lillian this and Auntie Lillian that. Yes, we know she's your bloody aunt. Rant over. Glad the horses will finally get the foot spa and nail bar they deserve.
But she does. She had to be fair to Alice. That is, she never says Lily. She always says Auntie Lillian.
Yes.
And I think you call people Auntie something, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I can't.
And if you,
I've tried, and I can't stop doing it.
Exactly. That becomes the name.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yes. What other opinions of on HC did they have? Same initials.
Harry. So this is Terry White. So the fireworks, he says, and Sadie's suffering weren't merely a public information announcement. They were a way of introducing Harry.
Yes, that's a good point.
Fortunately, the obligatory period of dislike, see also Fallon when she first met Harrison, was restricted to barely a couple of scenes. But what is Harry's purpose? Is he Alice's future, or is he maybe what Alice needs to suggest that there'll never be another Chris and begin the long road to reconciliation? We all remember Brian's crack about Chris maybe being Alice's starter marriage. And I'm sure that Jenny would have been delighted with an eventer. So much more suitable.
She would have loved it. She would have loved it.
Harry, you say.
Kate's going to be all over
him as well.
One of the
Chilcotts from Lillina. Oh, it's marvellous.
It is a very posh name, isn't it? I know a few Chilcotts. And they were definitely privately educated.
Yeah.
Harry Chilcott here. I just thought he sounded... I know he did have a young voice, but it was so, like, I guess sort of old... Well, old, what's the word? You know, old school posh, wasn't it?
Old money. Sort
of old money, that's it. Yeah. I thought it made him sound older than Alice, but clearly not. Which would explain why Lillian was so keen.
I honestly, he sounded to me about 3 years older than Jack. I mean, Henry.
That would be weird. I need to listen again.
Andrew Stewart is less than impressed and said he was the one that, he said, I wrote to you recently to praise the quality of writing on The Archers, but what we learned this week is that these things even out over time. The scenes with Alice, Harry and Lillian sounded like a nine-year-old trying to do Jane Austen. Please have someone let off a leftover firework, have Sadie trample Harry to death and let us never speak of this again.
So harsh. I thought the writing this week was excellent, top-notch, actually.
Excellent.
Hard, though. I suppose it's difficult as well, isn't it? Because, I don't know, writing bants between two poshos in a stable, it's like... It's hard, isn't it? I think the trouble was they'd written his character as I'm a very reserved posh eventer and I'm not satisfied with the service. And then in about a second he went from being cross to be and awkward to being Leslie Phillips, basically.
Yeah.
So
hell
it was quite difficult to believe,
wasn't it?
And you're a little, what do? You're a little, you just scrub out the stables, do you, little girl? It was a bit, that's the thing, he didn't come across as like, he came across as a bit leery, I thought.
Yeah.
A bit pushy.
Yes.
And I think... I would have been a bit like Alice. My guard would have come up and I would have thought,
absolutely.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Do you want to, maybe, I don't know, email me before you?
Let's go out for lunch. I'm not spending an hour with you. I don't know you. Are you out of your mind?
You've just threatened to sue us. So it's all gone weird. What's the agenda here? I don't understand.
Claire Lawton says much the same. She says, do not get me started on Harry Chilcott. I know that the storyline has been plonked in there to shoehorn in a potential love interest for Alice. But my God, Harry, if you're so worried about your horse, then why has it taken you until this point to show up when the situation has been dealt with and the mare's already nicely on the mend? An ex-3-day eventer at the top of his game, in inverted commas, would be an extremely extremely experienced, likely professional horseman or woman, and would know that a horse can just as easily end up on the veterinary operating table due to stress-induced colic or similar if kept in the stable when there's fireworks going off, as they can through injury sustained in the field. The decision about what to do with horses when there's a fireworks display happening on top of them is basically impossible to make. You're damned if you do and if you don't. Alice handled things well by trying to manage the horses as individuals and stick to their usual routines. I know that's not the point of the storyline, but anyway, it irritated me enough to email about it. So there you go. Thank you,
The
Claire.
Trouble is, Harry Chilcott has split with his television partner and knows that there's a lot of Geralds down that their stables.
Geralds.
And so he thought he'd go and sort of, you know, show his eventing muscles down there. In the hope of,
I do like the idea of all these nubile young things marching around in tight jodhpurs and hacking jackets, except Lillian, who is still determinedly wearing her high heels and clopping around, you know, sounding cloppier than the horse.
But I hope she is wearing jodhpurs all the time.
Yes, all the time. Yes.
Jodhpurs are so ridiculous, aren't they? Have you ever worn a pair of jodhpurs?
Yes.
Back in the day, I bet you did when you were in the country in that.
I did. And I think, when did I?
Did you have beige ones or navy ones?
Beige.
Oh, yeah, me too. Mm. Yeah, obviously.
Obvs.
Terribly comfortable, actually, Lucy. Maybe we should wear them more often. Now I think about it.
Should we always record in jodhpurs? We'll make it a thing.
Only if we can bring a whip and crack it.
Steady, you'll set them all off again. Bum, 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 bum. Ah. Oh, hang on.
Is that a different email?
Yeah. No, I'm just getting all confused. Richard Lee said that now that Jazza has rejected his foray into a management role, he would like to propose a different route. It looks like Rishi Sunak and Jeremy Hunt are going to be out of jobs soon, as Jazza is available for promotion and doesn't see that any relevant experience is a requisite. Then why not PM or Chancellor of the Exchequer? He probably would do a better job with Tracy as PM's wife.
I mean, Tracy would be awesome, wouldn't she?
Yes.
To be honest, if you had Susan, Emma and Tracy, and throw Fallon in for a cabinet... That's a pretty good one.
Fallon would be the one that opens her mouth at the wrong moment and says something catastrophic that then takes another like 6 months of... She's in every cartoon. She's on... It's all... Every comedian on the news quiz is all they talk about.
And... She'd be a bit Stella Creasy or... Yeah. No. Yeah, what's the other one? The really outspoken one.
Jess Phillips.
Flaming hair. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, she might be like her.
This is from Michael Gorman. Who is telling us about the Peter Principle, which I have heard of because I am old and you will not have heard of because you are not old.
No.
He says, as your official oldest listener, I still don't think he is, but anyway, I must disagree with your harsh assessment of Jazza. You may be too young to have heard of the Peter Principle. Now, I can't remember who created this, but it's actually very true.
Okay.
In essence, says that everyone eventually is promoted to a job for which she or he neither has the aptitude or the training. A good or even inspirational teacher, in order to earn more money, takes a job as a school administrator and is mediocre. An excellent plumber seeks more money by becoming the poor manager of the parts department of the company and is terrible. Good on everyone's favourite jock for resisting the call to stop being a top pig man to earn more by spending his time fiddling around with bloody spreadsheets and all the rest of the minor administrator's toys while slowly dying of boredom. So yes, I agree, actually. The trick is to avoid the Peter Principle is to know what you're good at
and do it brilliantly.
Yeah, and resist any attempts to sort of shove you up the scale.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I did worry about complaining on Tracy's behalf for Jazza, because I did think actually that's a very sort of easy conclusion to jump to, isn't it? That like he's not doing it because he's not ambitious enough, and you know. But actually, of course, why should you be? What, there's no rule that says you have to climb a ladder. If you're really good at doing what you do and you're happy doing
it. Exactly. That's the main thing.
And you can afford to live like that, then...
It's like people go... I did, loads of my clients do it where they go, well, this person, you know, they were brilliant at they were a brilliant IT engineer, and then we made them head of department and they're rubbish. And you think, well, that's because that's two completely different jobs. Department head isn't an IT engineer, it's a department head. They're not the same, they're a completely different set of skills. Why did you expect that because they were good at one thing they would be automatically good at heading up a lot of other people doing that thing that they're good at? It's just weird.
What it would be, Lucy, is like Ambridge on the couch was going on the telly. And we'd just sit there looking petrified, going, oh, I thought the Archers was really good this week. Did you?
Did you like did you, it?
Did you? Know Helen, George and Jack Ashton have split up? I feel really bad for them, actually. Helen George is so pretty. I need you to Google her so you know who it is.
God.
She is... Oh, sorry. I've just that's because I've clicked on Hello magazine.
Helen George, actress.
She's a... stunningly beautiful, and she was in Call the Midwife forever.
Oh, yes, she is, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, she's very pretty.
And now, have you looked up Jack Ashton? And look at them together. They were like born to be together. But sadly, Lucy, and they got too bimbish. But they're not, but you know, that's life, isn't
Who's
it?
Who's Ollie Ricks then?
I don't know. Oh my God, has she got a new boyfriend?
No, he has reunited with his ex. Oh my God, I've gone down a Daily Mail wall of shame now.
No,
oh, is that him with the beard?
Well, I think he's got a beard in one of his Google images.
Yes.
He's got piercing blue eyes.
Yes, I thought you were going to say piercings then. Okay, yes. No,
you
see? they look very nice together, don't they?
Oh,
that's
they look beautiful together. I know.
That is very sad.
That's telly for you, isn't it? That's what would happen to us, Lucy. If Ambridge on the couch went on the telly, we'd split up. It would be like the morning show, wouldn't it?
Yes.
We'd fall out with each other and we'd split up from our husbands and you'd split up from Jeff and it would just be awful and Cooper would leave.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible.
Cooper would take over. Him and the tortoise would stage a coup and they'd end up taking over.
Bound. We'd be like Holly and Phil. Mm. And the tension between us would just increase because we'd have to look at each other every week and go, no, you do. You say something. No, you.
I'm not doing it.
Anyway, probably that might not happen because of the Peter factor, the Peter Parker factor,
the Peter principle,
the Peter piped to prick.
Peter piped to prick. Did you just say? Michael Gorman has also explained Black Friday to us.
Oh,
thank you. Because do you remember we were saying about we said it was completely pointless and
no that... I think I do know it's something to do with Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Yes
I do actually know what it is.
He said Britain has a long history of adapting naff versions of American customs. It's called the Elvis/Cliff syndrome. Yeah. Black Friday in Britain is the first completely pointless adaptation. US Thanksgiving Day occurs on the last or fourth Thursday of November. Many people take the Friday after off, so it's a good day to hold sales and one in which shops and businesses hope their annual profits move into the black. Britain does not observe Thanksgiving Day, so that Friday is no different from any other bloody working Friday in the UK. And the sales might as well be held on Purple Tuesday in September, or any other date given a meaningless name. Yes.
Yes. Well, they also might as well just call it Black November, because it seems to be every day in November, as far as
most
shops are concerned.
I'm just hitting the unsubscribe button endlessly. So annoyed.
What do you mean? What, from
people? Well, because all these bloody companies trying to get me to buy things I don't want.
I know, it's very dangerous.
Well,
because they'll say, oh, 50% off, but actually it's not really. They're just pretending it is. because they put the price up 2 weeks before, don't they? And then they can legitimately claim.
Yes. This is Helena Bennett.
Yeah.
She said she does her weekend cleaning when she listens to us, and she never remembers to write anything down because she's always got like the Hoover in her hand or something, so she can't ever make notes.
It's
like
you,
yeah, exactly. Have you got Harriet's notes, Helena? Because can you give them back?
Email them.
She said, I had to share my thoughts on Martin Gibson's potential plans for Oliver's Land at Grange Farm. Surely the lowest blow he could strike would be to open a high-end organic hotel and events venue.
That would be brilliant.
He and BL don't have any hospitality interests, as far as I know. A real chink in their armour. And of course, one village can never have too many wedding venues. Secondly, Separately, I'm very unhappy with Kate's treatment of dear Jakob. What's the matter with her? Maybe that's where to look for our affair storyline. She does have form, or he could seek comfort with someone more appreciative, like Kirsty.
Something no, but they made up.
Yes, but maybe she emailed this when they hadn't.
Okay.
Something else has not been mentioned is that Helen and Joy appeared to just leave Jack alone in his room, feeling awful after his bust up with Henry. No mention of cuddles or conversations with either boy, which makes me worry a lot about the near and distant future. You're so right about Helen expecting perfection at all times from Henry and parentifying him in relation to Jack.
Well, two things.
Yes.
I loved Kate and Jakob's relationship this week. Because it really was very true to them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then actually Jakob turning around and going, and just sort of like, you know, you're not community minded. No, you're not community minded, et cetera, et cetera. I thought it was really clever, actually. And the fact that, you know, she was blaming him for being an antisocial, you know, un-community spirited person, when actually she's inherited Peggy's,
yeah,
sort of, you know, slightingness and all that. So I thought that was actually really interesting. And they go together really well, I think, those two. Because only she's the only person that can put up with him and he's the only person that can put up with her. Because they both have quite distinctive styles of being, don't they?
Yeah. Yes. But so he doesn't take her too seriously. And he does. He can actually just say, no, that's enough.
Yes,
and then he does think about it and he says, OK, I will go this far and no more.
That's the thing. He doesn't put up with her shit.
Boundaries.
And she can sort of laugh at herself with him.
Yes.
Which is really nice.
Yes.
Really,
yes, that's true.
Because
everyone else, it's too sensitive for her because she always thinks everyone's not taking her seriously. She can't ever allow herself to laugh when other people do when it's about her.
Except that I don't think I listened very hard on the episode where it turns out that he's now going to be doing the church thing.
Yeah.
So
that's because he was thinking about what she'd said and he thought, maybe I'm not a team player. So when Usha said she wanted somebody, she was looking for somebody to help her organise the...
But we still don't know what they're doing.
No.
What sort of show. Because even though Alan got really excited about the Shiv's the temple being used for all sorts of things, I was still thinking, but how will it make any money?
Yes, exactly.
If you have a knitting
rent
circle,
it, I think. Yeah,
I never like for tuppence,
I know.
Presumably.
I know.
And also, why? Surely you would have thought of that before. Most churches do that, don't they?
Yes.
Most churches are so busy all the time because you've got an amazing venue to put stuff on. And anyway, whatever.
Here in the village here, we have the horticultural, the memorial hall.
Which happens?
Basically a sort of prefab. And so last weekend, I went to the horticultural show in the afternoon and 3 hours later, I was watching a band there in exactly the same place.
Oh, wow.
The lights change slightly and you just pick your way through the remains of the dahlias from the horticultural show. And then the next day, there's a church group uses it. And then it was the WI meeting in there and it's just used all the time.
Wow.
All the time. So, yeah, that's the kind of thing that the churches should
use. Are you like well amongst the locals now?
That's
are you getting,
not going
getting
to happen
yourself around?
For about 50 years, but
But do you have to introduce yourself to people all the time?
You don't need to because everyone knows exactly who you are,
God,
and what you do and where you've moved into.
I suppose it's like coming to Ambridge, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're Stella.
They know everything.
You're Stella. You're like the new cool person who everyone's a little bit afraid of. Someone's going to be asking if they can move in before you know it.
Someone's already asked me if I'll help them with a press campaign.
Oh, for free?
Oh, yeah. And my favourite was I dropped something off at a secondhand shop earlier today in the next town along, which is like half an hour away. And she said, now, just remind me, where was it you said you'd moved? When we were talking last time, where did you say you'd moved into? And I looked at her and we both knew perfectly well I hadn't told her anything about where I'd moved into.
Oh, clever woman.
And I said, and I gave the name of the village where I live. And she said, yeah, but which house did you say? And there was someone else standing there and I couldn't say, I didn't and I'm not telling you. So I just had to tell her.
And but they're so sneaky. Would you leave your phone number in case we find some cash in the pockets of the coat that you've just dropped off? Well, I mean, it's no different from any shop that you buy something from now. And they basically want your full name and address and email number and bank details. So yes. It's like everybody's mining everybody for data. So you
all
might as well give it out.
In this, yes, exactly.
Anyway.
Basil agrees with you about Jacob. He says, hurrah for Jacob. If he, Ambridge's most socially awkward resident, can make the effort to help with the church fundraising extravaganza, it puts his mean-spirited granny-in-law to shame. Apart from playing the organ, he has little connection with the church, yet he is prepared to do what is necessary. Peggy, on the other hand, has numerous connections with the place. Her mother, her two husbands, one of her daughters, one of her grandsons, a variety of in-laws and a whole host of friends and acquaintances are buried there. No doubt she expects to be laid to rest among them when her time comes. And that is without taking into account all the decades she's been worshipping there. Well, all the decades minus a few years due to her disapproval of a lady vicar. I think that we may safely conclude that Jacob is a good chap and that Peggy is a foolish and spiteful hag. If she persists with her vendetta, they should dump her remains in the nearest landfill site instead of consecrated ground and then award Jacob the freedom of the village. Thank you, Basil.
I agree. I love the fact that Jacob was so shocked when he found out that Kate refused to do yoga mornings.
But partly it was the hypocrisy that she'd had the cheek to say to him, you're not a team player. Yeah. Flip it neck.
No, but also like the fact that he just, you know, looks at her family sort of with distaste and, you know, just disbelief.
Yeah.
Yeah, good old Jacob.
Yes. Right. Now we are
Just say, Lucy, I wanted to, when I said two things, I only actually answered one thing. Do you remember when I said two things?
Oh, yes,
that email, a couple of... So my second thing was... this is actually what I wrote in my notes, but I haven't got my notes, so I have to do it from the top of my head. What I really wanted to say, Lucy, was I think last week I was a bit down on Helen, you know, but I secretly... You know, I love Helen.
Yes.
And last week I thought she was a bit moany or annoying and being mean. This week, I thought... But that's what I mean about the writing this week.
Yeah.
I just thought the writing of Helen. Helen is the most, I think she deserves a place in best characters written in English literature in the whole world. Because we go from hating Helen and finding her annoying and naggy and moany. When she said to Joy, you're the only person that I feel doesn't judge me. I just wanted to cry because suddenly you go, oh God, Helen, you're so damaged and sad and scared. And I just thought it was, I felt so sorry for her this week. And then she goes through that. And then she goes through being brave and tough and strong. And she's such an incredibly written character, I think, because she's got so many sides and she takes us on a roller coaster. And so she's perfectly human, isn't she? Because
I think partly what enrages people about her sometimes is the way she is with the boys. People get very, very, very upset about that.
Yeah.
When...
But then ultimately, because I was slagging her off for being mean and strict. But ultimately, you know, she loves them more than anything and she will put them first.
Yeah.
And you can't be... And it's hard, I suppose, like for people like Helen. She's so desperate for them to grow up right and good and proper that she can't let off, can she?
No.
She can't sort of relax.
Yeah.
But she can't relax her grip
for a second. That's the problem.
No, no. Mm-hmm. But I think soon, now that she's closed the chapter with Rob, she can, you know, maybe chill a bit more.
If she
chills too much, we won't enjoy her character.
We have...
That is what I wanted to say on Helen.
Yes. Well, this is someone else that wants something to say about Helen.
And she's a rat, bitch.
A listener who wishes to remain anonymous, and you will see why when I read the email.
Okay. Yeah.
She said, the fact that Helen has never had any therapy is the height of irresponsibility and bad parenting. She is projecting so many of her own problems onto those two kids. If she was so adamant about being a perfect mother, you should have taken some bloody responsibility for her own mental health and the impact it would have had on the boys and the rest of her family.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I left my narcissistic husband, and this is the bit that made my, yeah, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I remember having the Archers on in the kitchen and listening to Helen and Rob a few years ago and actually having to turn it off because I thought that my husband would draw parallels between what was doing and what he was doing to me. God. After a year and a half, I left my ex-husband, taking my 1.5-year-old son with me. I packed the car with everything I could and I left. I went back to my parents and after bawling my eyes out at my mum because the dream was over, the first thing I did was decide that I had to get help for the sake of my son. He deserved a happy, healthy, balanced mum. When I left, I was a shell of my former self, a broken soul who was constantly apologising, felt guilty for taking up space in the world, which I honestly didn't feel I deserved. I hasten to add, I wasn't some silly girl who'd got knocked up at 16. I was a 34-year-old woman who had a dream white wedding, lived in a big house, had a stonking diamond on my finger. I had a degree, an amazing job, and had travelled the world. And I was embarrassed and ashamed at the state I'd let myself get into. I felt stupid, small, and insignificant, and like I'd totally fucked up. I'd been manipulated and undermined to the point where I couldn't make decisions because I was so used to being told it was the wrong decision. I was frightened and so low. I had to take control of my life. The only way to do it was unpack it, process it, and work on myself. I had 3 years of weekly therapy, which I paid for. I had to. It was my responsibility and my commitment, which I made because of my son. He was not going to pay the price for my shitty marriage. 7 years down the line, I now view the whole marriage and the marriage breakdown as a blessing. It meant I had to take a cold, hard look at myself, take some accountability, and it has meant that I have learnt and grown beyond all measure. Sorry, I've rambled about myself, but for fuck's sake, Helen, grow up. Stop pussyfooting around and get some help for the sake of your boys. P.S. I'm very happy now with my own business, engaged to be married to an incredible silver fox, and very happy to shove two fingers up to anyone who feels the need to project their own shit onto me. I don't follow the flock. I do what makes me happy, and my son is incredible, thriving, and balanced.
Well, that is brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, awful, but brilliant. Awful. Yes. The first bit, exactly. Awful.
No, but hats off for leaving, for being so, incredibly brave.
Yes. Yes.
And getting help.
Yes.
Which can't be easy.
I just thought the idea of having to turn the Archers off because you're thinking,
oh my God,
he might get ideas or he's going to wonder what I'm listening to, or, you know, he's going to see the link. Oh, horrible.
That is chilling. I also think it must be very hard because I know somebody who we thought they had a wonderful marriage and they've got beautiful children, and but she left him and we all thought, oh my God, why would you? She had everything and he's so lovely. And then later down the line, we realised that, you know, after she literally became a different person. Her personality went from being really quiet and boring in our eyes to like really, you know, good fun. And it was just so, and clearly we just didn't clock that this gorgeous, wonderful person that she was living with was very, very controlling. And she had a personality transplant and is so much happier now. Wow. I feel so, we all felt so bad for not, but for also at the very beginning, which I guess you have to go through when you've left that wonderful big house and perfect marriage and all that, is like, people must, I assume they judge, don't they? And they, and they probably go like we did, oh my God, why would you, you know, like, oh, it's so selfish. And
some women have a horrible tendency to blame other women as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel so awful. We thought he was the good guy.
Yeah.
You know, we just, but you don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
No, you never do. Clearly. Well, that's what, yeah.
So, you know, it's such a brave thing to do and to have to go through all the aftermath, you know, the sort of, you know, so actually to get help for, you know, that's amazing, isn't it? Because how else can you possibly get through it?
Yes. Well done, lovely listener. Hurrah to you.
Yeah.
Sevda wants to say, am I the only person who thought Jack's writing ability for a seven-year-old was absolutely extraordinary?
Yeah. Yes. Come on, I'd forgotten about that. But yes, I thought exactly the same.
His drawing's clearly shit, as I couldn't tell the difference between a cat and a dog. But anyway. And Sevda says, I wanted to say I absolutely love turkey. I cook it a few times a year. I have an arga and put it in the simmer oven the night before for 12 hours and then finish it in a hot oven. It's so good, really juicy, and doesn't taste like chicken. I always feel someone needs to speak up for turkey.
Get yourself turkey counted, marketing Grundy's board. World.
Well done.
Thank you, Bernard Matthews. Thank you.
I just had to let the dog in because he's whining. Sorry,
I could hear him.
And he's sad.
Poor old Cooper.
It's because his water's in here and he's thirsty. Himself.
It's because you've got new friends now you've moved. He doesn't get a look in. Poor old Coops. What'll I do when you are far away? I'm just singing for the listeners.
Bloody hell, the door was actually open. He just wasn't sure whether or not he could come in.
Oh. Cooper, so does he love his going, is it because he's not sure, has he not really understood the new house? Does he not?
No,
he's like, it's like, I've gone to Narnia, but there's no way home.
There's a lot of doors, and he's not great at doors because he tends to stand at the hinge end worrying.
Maybe the Wi-Fi is getting in the way.
Yes,
Lucy.
Yes, that'll be it. Yes,
he sees it wavering.
Do you remember last week we were saying it's about time we had an affair, Harriet?
Oh, Lucy, I never thought you'd ask.
Well, you said we're going to split up, so we'll have to have an affair first.
Yeah.
Kate Lloyd-Jones said, I'm trying to think when the last one was, where we knew all three of the triangle before the affair started.
I think it was
2016 with Adam, Charlie Thomas and Ian.
Oh, yes.
And before that, 2014, Roy Elizabeth Haley.
That was such a good one.
That was a bloody tent. Russ, oh, and then Roy standing there pissed outside Lower Loxley going, I love the Elizabeth. And she's over the door going, who's making that strange whining noise? Go away. Get off my grass.
That was so good.
Russ and Lily was later, but seems less juicy as we never knew Mrs. Russ.
True.
Similarly, Lillian and Justin, we heard from Miranda, but only after the affair started. Rob and Helen started as an affair, but Jess wasn't living in Ambridge at the time.
Yes.
I'm not counting one night stands while a relationship is already broken. Chris, Amy, Alice or Ben, Chelsea, Beth. On a connected point, Amy. I think all indications we've had are that Hannah is probably straight. During her first stint in Ambridge as a student, she took a shine to Chris, but he was already with Alice. And when deflating Jazz's interest, she didn't say her sexuality was a reason it would never happen again. On her return, she had the flatmates with benefits arrangement with Tom.
I remember that. Hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So yes, we're due one. I think 2016. Yes, well overdue, I say.
Who's it going to be? I think Joy needs to get together with some... Oh, she was a Mick. Oh, yeah, that's boring. Maybe she and Kenton could have... No. Jolene could have an affair.
Easily. Well, she's already had one, hasn't she?
Who did she have one with?
Well, she had... That's how
Kenton?
She got... No, with... Yeah. No, it wasn't Kenton. It was with Sid.
Oh, of course. Oh, Michelle. God. Back. Of course. How could I possibly forget?
This is from Joanne, who says, I really hope that at some point we get to learn about Rochelle and why she's estranged from her mother.
Yeah.
Joy was a superstar this week, as she always is when there's a crisis, and it's hard to imagine why her daughter appears to have completely severed all ties with her. I'd be thrilled if my mum was half as supportive and full of practical assistance. Sure, Joy can be pretty full on day to day, but there are worse qualities one could have. I agree.
I think they might be brewing a Rochelle.
Yes, because she got mentioned today, didn't she?
Yeah.
Your daughter's
And also, you must be such a great mother and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I think it's a case of Joy having indulged Rochelle, or Joy's husband having indulged Rochelle, and Rochelle just being a spoiled brat.
Right.
I think that's probably.
And she's going to come and cause trouble.
Yes. Yes. And also, it's a bit like, do you remember Hazel Woolley and Jack?
Yeah.
And Jack was always very kind. Well, yes. Always appeared to be very kind and nice and lovely. And then she was an absolute witch. Yeah. And he could never, he would never sort of, and he felt guilty about her. So he would never see the truth in what people were saying about her and all that. So I think that was a case of overindulgence, wasn't it? I think. Now, right. Oh, hang on. Yes. Okay, this is the last thing about Helen. This is from Claire again. Helen got so lucky this week that Jack made his own decision not to see Rob. I'm absolutely baffled that she'd even consider putting such a young child through the traumatic experience of meeting a man who to him is a perfect stranger in the final stages of terminal cancer. And that's without taking into account that it's Rob. I mean, yeah. I just can't cope with it. Helen, for goodness sake, please make some flipping parenting decisions with your kids at the centre of your priorities. Sometimes, if absolutely everyone, except Joy the people pleaser, is saying something isn't a good idea, then it's reasonable to take that advice on board and just bloody listen.
I think it was too hard for her.
Yeah.
She was in absolute turmoil because it was like a life and death decision, wasn't it? Like, if she doesn't do it, will he never forgive? You know, it was so... That's why I really couldn't believe how amazing a character Helen is this week, because you could just feel her inner turmoil.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, isn't it? Because even when everyone's saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, your gut instinct is saying, I sort of think I have to.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such an unusual situation. None of us are ever going, well, hopefully none of us are ever going to find ourselves in it.
But also because when Jack didn't want to go in, I at that point was actually feeling quite sorry for Rob. And I thought, Helen, just make him go in and then at least get it over and done with. But then now I'm glad he didn't because actually that was a good point as well, because also it would have been quite upsetting for Jack, because seeing someone who's very, very ill is not a great image to remember forever, is it? It's pretty traumatic for a kid, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And you've got to respect what the child wants. And if the child's saying, no, I absolutely don't want to, I am scared, you can't just force them through it.
No, definitely not. Anyway, at least Rob got the card eventually.
Did you hear they used that?
I do have an ounce of sympathy. The thing is, it's hard. It's just hard not to have an ounce of sympathy when someone is about to die, isn't it? It's hard.
Did you notice they used the same line again?
No.
Right at the start of Rob coming back, he said something about, don't turn your back on me.
Oh, yeah.
Then Rob's dad said it
to
Alan, don't walk away from me. And then Rob said it to Helen today. Don't turn your back on me. Don't walk away from me.
Oh, God.
So it's like this thread of NPD running through it, because they hate that. They hate being ignored more than anything.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's really the thing, isn't it? Her smothering him, all the attention would have been on him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Ooh, it's actually really creepy.
Yes. We're in trouble with James Everett.
Who
says, not a fan of all the Pip slander last week.
Sorry,
do
James.
Better, he said. That's all I have to
bad.
Say.
I feel like I was sort of... Was I being mean about poor old Pip?
I can't remember us being rude about Pip.
I think I said I felt sorry for her because she's the... you know when Ruth and... It was a bit like Ruth and Stella ganging up on her.
Yes.
I had a bit of sympathy for her.
There we go. See, James? See, we James, like her, really.
We do like her.
Yes.
Bless her.
Now, do you remember last week's What's the L? Do you remember?
Is happening? Yes, hang on. Why can't I ever remember what it was?
Because there's too
much
in your head, mostly mince.
Ah, mince. I made a really good chili. It's for tomorrow night, actually, but it's got just the right amount of spice,
The spice that isn't making Rex cry.
Exactly. His mouth's
blinded him in one eye. right, I'm going to play just a little snippety poo to remind ourselves.
Yeah, go on then.
What the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening here?
Well, what's all this about?
Well, you'll see in a minute.
Oh, you are such a man of history.
Already. Okay.
Yeah. I thought her statuettes had been vandalised in her garden. Something like that.
You were wrong.
Obviously. Oh, sorry. Hello?
Wow, it's like magic. You're playing it.
You reckon? Hi. Evening.
Hello?
I don't know what's happening. It's coming out of this thing.
Have you got the arches in your house? For real?
Yes, for reals.
Wow.
Right. Okay. So,
yep.
It wasn't that.
Okay.
Manda Champagne.
Yes, oh God, that name is just awesome.
Says, I believe Linda and Robert are planning a party for the 25th anniversary of living in Ambridge, but unfortunately some vandals have dyed Linda's llamas pink. And she says, Manda Champagne is my real name. Champagne is from my dad, who is from Quebec. My first name is actually legally Manda, not Amanda. I asked my mum why, and she said the name Amanda was just too popular when I was born in the late 80s. I didn't find that explanation very satisfying, but here we are.
Oh, my God. My mouth stayed open for the whole of that. I'm stunned.
Yeah.
What a brilliant name. Manda Champagne. Oh. Also, actually, to be fair, Manda Champagne, it's better than Amanda Champagne.
Yeah.
Don't you think? It rolls off the tongue.
Yes.
You're so lucky. You've literally got the best name in the world. If anyone's got a better name, please write in. But I think that's going to be hard to top.
You know that we'll have millions of people. Now, emailing in claiming to be called Foofy Lala and things like that just to see if we can...
The name is Champagne. Also, presumably is she from Quebec?
Her father
and
is.
So she's therefore, does she have a French accent, which would be...
Champagne.
Monde Champagne or something.
That sounds very good.
Thanks, Lisa. Should we have an affair?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
I'm too far away now. You should have said it when I was there, for God's
sorry,
sake.
I know. It would never work.
No. We just ignore each other. We just forget.
No, we just forget.
Out of sight, out of mind.
We just forget. That's what's so sad about everything. As soon as this laptop screen goes down...
La 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 la. Lucy who? Oh, yeah. Catherine Rowan Jones says she thinks she knows what comes next. Linda is horrified to find her llama seriously ill. Alistair attends to treat them. Wolfgang succumbs to disease while Costanza slowly recovers. So.
London calling.
Which one do you think it was?
I think the pink one sounds more likely because it's so...
Silly.
Strange.
Yes, and you are correct.
Yes!
It was exactly that. Garden party to celebrate 25 years in Ambridge. Wolfgang, Constanza and Salieri had bright pink squiggles painted onto them. It washed out. They were only a light shade of pink. Sadly for Linda, she never found out who did it.
Oh, that's joyful though, isn't it? Good old Archie's at its best.
And Vicky Cole said, you were talking last week about what Alan spent the church money on.
Yes.
She said, I think that the money the church gets from collections, donations and fundraising has to go towards its parish share, which goes to the diocese to pay for the clergy, salaries and housing, among other things. Other people will know more about this than I do.
Oh, right. So he's basically collecting for his salary, poor thing.
Yeah,
like a franchise.
Yeah,
you have to give them a certain amount back.
Yeah, maybe
God commission.
Knows. Anyway, come along, resident vicar Julie Bacon.
Yes, please.
You need
Julie.
To tell us the inside tea on the clergy.
What do the coffers go on?
Yes. Right. This is this week's. Oh, hang on. Ellen Hughes. This is cool. She just got this one under the wire. It literally just popped up while I was talking.
God, it's 5 to 9 on a Friday night.
Ellen says, what a week. I missed a big chunk of storylines during my Archer's Wilderness years during COVID, so I hadn't twigged till the other week that Kate and Jakob were a couple. But I think even if I'd listened to every episode twice, I still wouldn't really know what was going on with them. Don't they always have the chemistry of a pair of rocks? Ooh, you didn't think so, did you? I also wanted to offer a defence of Jazza following his computer tantrum last week. Yes, he was a bit of a baby about it, but he was clearly not interested in the job from the beginning and no one took his concern seriously. It's automatically assuming that he must want to be a manager. Intensive pig units like Barrow are extremely data heavy, so the difference in his day-to-day job would be substantial, so it doesn't seem unreasonable for him to want to stick with the work where both his skills and passions lie. Finally, go Helen. I so hope this is the start of the quiet calm she's due. I found Thursday's episode deeply uncomfortable listening, so was dreading Friday, but the writing and acting was incredible, making the focus on Helen's emotional journey rather than some dramatic action of Rob's. I too was convinced he would try to kidnap Jack. It was a fitting end to a pretty remarkable storyline.
Yes.
Well done, the archers. The ferrets are forgiven.
Actually, that's what we said before we started this, didn't we? It was great because it wasn't ATT. It wasn't Hammy. It was
nobody fired through the dairy window. Nobody escaped. Sadly. Miles didn't turn up on a motorbike and drive off with Jack, or you know.
I was wondering how they recorded those scenes. Actually, I was thinking maybe they did. They make Rob lie down or sit in a chair far away. There was such a great atmosphere. Yeah. You'd really imagine him. He was very good at doing ill, wasn't he?
I don't know what you thought, but Horatia said, because we were talking about it just before we came, she said that she thought there was an undercurrent of eerie sexuality.
Really?
Which I thought was absolutely spot on. There was a real kind of palpable sense of power and who's got the power and him goading her and her. There was an element of that which she was all, it was quite strict because she was reining herself in so hard, it all became quite kind of,
well, there was a lot of come closer, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And it was all in the dark and all of that.
Yeah.
Well, it just made everything very uncomfortable, didn't it? And very sinister. Intense, very, and then when they did the sound effect of the pillow.
Yeah.
Ba 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 ba. Yeah. But obviously because I was frying mince and there was a washing machine and a child, the sexual chemistry just was lost on me, sadly.
Can you imagine if you're like the Archer's cast or the Archer's writer and you've sweated blood over this and then you think, why am I, people are frying mince. Why am I bothering? Really? What was point?
But that's why The Archers is so powerful as compared to a TV show, because you can do three things at once and have this incredible story playing through your head. Even if the sound effects aren't heard all the time because of real sound effects in the house.
So this is this week's What the Hell Is Happening. Ready?
Yep. Yep.
You reckon? Aye. Even in Ambridge, the agenda's moved on.
Oh, really?
Of course. There's a hot new couple to talk about.
Who have you pulled now?
Oh, me. The scandal was done at Woodbine.
Woodbine Cottage?
Aye. There's a note yesterday. Wants an extra pint. Well, I had to ring for the money anyhow. So Christine Barford comes to the door, oh, yeah, dither. Dressing gown buttoned up, rang.
Jazza.
Yeah, good honour, I say. Just shows you're never too old to get some action.
Jazza, do you mind? This is my great aunt you're talking about.
I know, she's got to sell a bloke.
What?
But remember when he was horny Jazza? Or he was just always having sex with everyone he delivered milk to?
It was like Robin's Nest or something, wasn't it? Some 70s soft porn thing.
I don't remember Christine having a bloke.
It can't be a bloke, can it? It must be somebody that's moved in with...
So she was, that was before she was living with Peggy. Oh, before she lost her money.
Yeah, because she moved in with Peggy and then she went into the Laurels, didn't she?
Unless it was Matt Crawford going and buttering her up in her dressing gown.
Ugh.
I don't remember. Don't remember. I mean, I remember those Jazza Bantz milkman scenes, but I don't remember.
Christine.
Ooh. Sinister.
Who could she have had staying with her that shouldn't have been in the village, or somebody that was hiding, or the only thing I can think of is Clive Horribin, and he wasn't staying with her.
No, or what was Kirsty's? Do you remember when everything was all about Kirsty's husband? What was his name again?
Philip Moss.
Philip Moss, yeah. He was hiding in there.
funny, isn't it, how major stories. Yeah, exactly. But stories that are so major at the time.
Do you think in 10 years' time we'll be going, what was his name? Titcher?
Yes,
Rob?
Yes.
Titchy Knob.
But that wasn't it, was it? Oh, my God. I don't know. I cannot wait to be enlightened.
Now, it started again. Oh. Can you hear it when it does that?
I can, but I can hear it because it's in the background.
Okay.
It must be. Is it playing out of your computer?
I don't know what it's doing. This thing is possessed, I tell you. It's got a bloody world of it's got a mind of its own.
God. It's like you're in that scary Radio 4 thing, uncanny.
Ooh. Oh, about the clock. No, the
telephone.
I haven't
listened. It's too scary. I can't listen.
Oh,
there's no way I can listen to that.
Competition time.
Competition.
Our question was, what would you like to be built on the land at Grange Farm?
Yes. Good question.
And this week, we have a first and a second. So we have a gold and a silver.
Ooh.
And the silver doesn't get nothing.
Oh.
But the gold does get a thing.
Ooh.
So the gold is... Hillary!
Wow!
Who said, I have settled on an arts venue. Ambridge is full of thespians and generally creative folk. It would be a crime not to have a venue for Linda to perform the vagina monologues, Jazza to sing bothy ballads, and the Grundys, now homeless, rebranded as a low-budget Von Trapps. Kenton could cash in on his torrid gazebo and pass it off as modern art. Will could have an exhibition of his phallic ceramics, and it would be the perfect place for Fallon's bohemian cafe and outrageously expensive upcycling. Finally, the art centre could have its own recording studio so the cast can all live and work in Ambridge, cutting down on costs so we can have more multicast episodes.
Oh, brilliant.
Well done, Hillary.
Alan wouldn't be pleased, though, would he?
He would not.
Hey, I've got the crochet circle. Oh, you've got it now.
Damn it, that's 15 quid a week. I'm not getting back.
That's brilliant, Hillary.
And second silver award goes to Ben, who said if he was Martin Gibson, he would use the Grange Farm land to make a monument to himself. As such, it would be the Gibson University for Future Farming or Guff. So, Hillary.
George would definitely sign up.
Georgie. Hillary, you have won a selection of very, very posh hair stuff from Inanch. So you need to message me however you feel like and tell me your address and mobile number, and Inanch, lovely Cassie, the PR for Inanch, will send over all your hair stuff.
Oh, how lovely, Lucy.
Glamorous.
Oh, it's so exciting. I'm getting excited just thinking about, you know, it's like, when it's lovely when you know there's a parcel coming.
Yes.
And it's getting all Christmassy as well.
Now, this week's question is, it's a bit grim, so sorry.
Okay.
If you wanted to kill someone in Ambridge,
God.
Who would it be and how would you do it?
How lovely.
Yes.
What a lovely thing to mull over during the weekend.
I spend a lot of time thinking about people I'd like to kill and how I'd do it, to be honest. But anyway. Yes.
The questions are always sort of based on your mood at the time.
They are. Clearly a bit shirty today. So if you wanted to kill someone in Ambridge, who would it be and how would you do it?
Can you go dark?
Well,
yes, you could.
It's quite difficult to think of a flippant way of no, obviously it is intended to be flippant.
Yes,
and you can't say pillows or custard because that's been done by Helen twice, obviously. And what you win is, do you remember Babington Blends tea?
Yes, it was really nice.
It was gorgeous. And it's in those beautiful tins.
Oh, yeah,
the
I
really,
love that.
Really gorgeous tins, which
also,
I have kept for various things.
I have to say, also great gifts.
Yes. So you can win, it's called Speciality, sort of gift pack from Babington Blends worth 50 quid of very posh tea. So again, excellent gifting and also excellent squirreling away just for yourself.
And excellent tea, I seem to remember.
Really excellent tea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, how lovely.
And just lovely. I just love the little tin things.
Me too, Lucy. Oh, do you know what? This is how good life gets these days. I get a little bit excited when I realise I've got more than, more than builders in the house. If I suddenly, because if I'm making a tea and usually I've just got builders, and then this week, Lucy, I bought...
Such a saddo. I bought some Lady Grey.
Oh, do you like that? Oh, obviously you do.
And I remembered that I had it and I was so excited. I thought, oh, another flavour of tea. Oh.
I remember, Jeff and I were talking about this the other day. I was talking, reading a piece by Olivia Colman.
Oh, yeah.
And they said to her, what are your luxuries? And she just sort of looked a bit blank and said, I get really excited about really, really small, cheap things. I'm not very good at big, you know, I haven't got like a Mulberry handbag or, you know, designer, yeah, whatever. And she said, and they said, well, you know, could you try and, it was one of the glossy magazines, you know, they sort of said, well, could you try and have a bit of a think? Because obviously you just ruined
content.
Our article. Yeah. And she ended up saying a cup of tea, because she said, it doesn't make you fat. It's cheap. It's always there. You can have it whenever you want. It doesn't make you drunk. Oh, it's just lovely.
Oh, it's the best thing in life.
And then she said also sleep. She said having a nap. And she said, I get so excited about being able to just go to bed and have a lovely sleep. It seems so nice. It's amazing no one's charging us for it, you know.
That is the ultimate luxury.
Yeah.
Getting as much sleep as you would like.
Yes.
Because that never happens.
No.
All week I've been thinking, oh my, if only I could get 8 hours sleep tonight, then. But it just doesn't happen during a busy week, does it?
No.
But that, and maybe that's why they go hand in hand, don't they, really?
Yeah.
Good old Olivia Colman.
I know. She's just great.
Oh, love her, Lucy.
Yes, me too.
When we go on the telly with our podcast.
Should we have an affair with her as well?
I love that. So I think we'd all get on so well.
Yes. Yes.
Because we'd all have tea.
And asleep. That'd be quite boring for everybody to watch, wouldn't it? Us lying there with our mouths half
open. It's not how successful affairs work, is it?
Not really, no.
But we wouldn't make anyone else sad by doing it. We wouldn't break anyone's hearts. We could get David along with his gin.
Yes.
That would be fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Liven things up a bit.
Oh, talking about livening things up, we are now crossing over to the stables to find out about their new ideas for the horses.
Hello. I'm too scared to come any closer without chaperone. Help!
Fabrice, darling, what are you doing here?
I am here to offer support for your bothers.
My what, darling? Oh, you mean that horse that was so anti the fireworks?
Yes, someone rang Radio Borsetshire and said you were cruel to the horse.
Oh, that was Harry Houdini or whatever his name was. That's all been sorted out. But now you're here, you can have the tour and tell all your listeners how responsible we are.
Yes, that's what I thought. I can go and... Ah! Is that one?
Looking over the stable door? Yes, darling, that's a horse. Oh, wait, it might be Auntie Cardboard. No, it's a horse. I was right the first time.
It is huge, like giant mental dinosaur.
That's Aziz, darling. One of my two. Sometimes I forget I own them, so it comes as a bit of a shock when the bill comes in, and then I ride absolutely everywhere, waving at people to make a point. And then I forget again for a bit. It depends how we're doing for coconuts, really. Would you like to say hello?
No, thank you. I'll just wave. From here. Hello, Isis.
Come on, Aziz. Let's come and say hello to Febreze.
Oh, my God. Look at the leg. Like an ostrich in shoes. Is it a boy or a... Oh! Oh, it is a boy. Assuming horse have four legs.
You could give him a pat. Or a polo. Here you go, boy. They like mints.
So do I, and they don't make me foam at mouth like him. It is disgust. But even though disgust, You look after these oars very well, I think.
Darling, pampered isn't the word. They begin the day with a smoothie and the newspapers. Then it's a quick breath of fresh air before coffee and croissants. We take their order for lunch before they have a brief saunter around the field. Or if someone makes a loud noise, a very fast gallop straight into the pointy bit of a fence post.
Yes, I did not understand why they were in field if there were a firework going whoosh, ooh, ah, close to them.
Well, they hate to miss out, you see. They can't bear being shut in when they can hear everyone else eating half-cooked jacket potatoes and drinking Jolene's cocktails.
Oh, yes, the flaming hedgehogs. I had one. I went blind in one eye and thought I was Jeremy Paxman.
Now, is there anything else I can show you to reassure you about their welfare? The hydrotherapy pool, the heated rugs, the organic hay. We're thinking about getting Lee in to do some equine massage. Jakob gives them a thorough physical exam. And of course, Chris Carter pops in regularly to check on their shoes.
I see. Lee, Jakob and Chris Carter. How much do it cost and when could I move in?
Thank you very much, Breeze and Lillian. Now...
Pleasure, darling. Ooh. Always losing her voice.
Do you think you could have a bash at A,
oh, God.
Stella?
So hard.
Is it?
I'll have a bash. Just write really, really short lines.
Yes.
No monologue. She's hard because she's very normal.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's got a bit of... tricky.
Slightly estuary-ish. Slightly.
Yes, exactly.
And a bit of creek as well.
Yes. But, you know, that's hard because it's hard to make it... Yeah. I'll put it in. Put like three... Do three lines. Don't make it long.
No, you've been so enthusiastic about it, Harriet.
Will it make a difference if I change the character at the last minute?
Why is she talking to Elizabeth like that?
I could do Hannah.
Yes.
She's a bit easier. But you can put give Stella like two lines.
Okay. No, it's fine. So fine. I'll just do her.
I'll have a look at her. Okay. I'll have a listen.
And now, as is always fitting on these occasions, we're going out with Matt's funeral tribute. When there's a death, we go out with a funeral tribute. So this one ought to be accompanied by kazoos and trumpets and people shouting huzzah and throwing their hats in the air. But as it is, we're just going to have to settle with the respectful one, which is a bit disappointing, but there we are.
What a way to go out on a Friday night. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Time for a cup of tea.
Bye.
Oh, Lucy.
Yes. Yes. What? Yes.
Sorry, that was so professional. Will that play in the first note?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, so it's really unimportant.
Oh, just stop the funeral march. I'm here in my black crepe with my hat on my heart.
I was just going to say thanks for listening. No, I was going to say, can I just say thanks for everyone who writes reviews?
Oh, yes.
Because everybody else like posts about it and says thank you and everything like that, and we're less good at doing the social stuff, but just so you know, thank you very much and we really appreciate it.
Yes.
And don't stop. Thank you.
Just because we're ungrateful, don't stop doing it.
It's very appreciated.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, sorry, you can carry on with your funeral.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Rest in peace, everybody.
Thank you. everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.